The following episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast deals with serious and sensitive topics. Listener discretion is advised. Hello and welcome to Lyrics of Their Life, the podcast that talks about the extraordinary lives lived by those that wrote or performed the songs we know and love. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and in today's episode, we re-enter the world of Ed Sheeran for part two of his story. It's been about 5.5 years since I released part one of Ed's journey way back in August 2020. And in that time, Ed's life has been nothing short of chaotic, filled with incredible highs and some devastating lows. In part one, we left the story with Ed marrying Cherry Seaborn and announcing he was ready to settle down, start a family, and step away from the music industry, following the release of his album Number 6 Collaborations Project. Since then, Ed has become a father to two daughters, Lyra and Jupiter. He's lost several close friends, with one tragedy in particular changing his life forever. He's faced multiple plagiarism battles in court, Cherry was diagnosed with cancer, Ed fell into a deep depression, and somehow, in the middle of all of that, he released 4 more number one albums in the UK, while touring the globe and breaking records along the way. So come with me as we take an inside look at Ed Sheeran's journey over the past 5 years. This is the story of Ed Sheeran, part two. This is Lyrics of Their Life.
Prince has died at the age of 57.
This is it.
Sorry, Gary, but I was always the talented member of the band.
Keep booing, little girl. I will hit a man with glasses.
I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Former Beatle John Lennon, who was 40, was shot and killed last night outside his luxury apartment in New York.
Has-beens shouldn't present fucking awards to Gunna Be.
In August 2020, Ed Sheeran would take a break from the music scene after previously announcing his semi-retirement at the conclusion of the Divide tour back in August 2019, after he had toured non-stop for over 2 years after performing 260 shows. With Ed telling his home crowd in Ipswich, quote, "As you may or may not know, I've been on the Divide tour for over 2 years now, and this is the last day of the whole thing. There is something very bittersweet about it. I love that you guys are here and we are ending in Ipswich. This is my last gig for probably 18 months. Ed would later elaborate on social media, claiming he was looking forward to travelling some more, taking a much-needed break, focusing on starting a family, and experiencing life a bit more so he has more material for songwriting. Little did the public know that Ed was actually already preparing for the birth of his first child to wife Cherry Seaborn, who was due to give birth at the end of August 2020. 2 to 3 months prior to their newborn's expected arrival, Ed had made a decision to finally give away his excessive drinking habits, as he told Rolling Stone magazine, quote, "2 months before Lyra was born, Cherry said, 'If my waters break, do you really want someone else to drive me to the hospital? Because I was just drinking a lot, and that's when it clicked. It was like, no, actually I really don't. And I don't ever want to be pissed holding my kid, ever. Having a couple of beers is one thing, but having a bottle of vodka is another thing. It's just a realization of I'm getting into my 30s. Grow up. You've partied. You've had this experience. Be happy with that and just be done. Drugs would also now be a no-go for Ed, with their newborn on the way, as Ed even gave up marijuana, as he didn't want the drug to be around his kids, and it wasn't great for his vocals anyway, as he claimed that he even knocked back an invitation to party with Rolling Stone member Keith Richards, due to his newfound outlook on drugs. During September 2020, Ed and Cherry announced that they had welcomed their first baby daughter into the world, naming her Lyra Antarctica Seaborn Sheeran, with Ed claiming it was very important for him to honour his wife's surname also. Ed later claimed that the birth was traumatic, with some complications. However, luckily everything turned out fine, with Ed taking to Instagram to write, "A quick message from me, as I have some personal news that I wanted to share with you. Last week, with the help of an amazing delivery team, Cherry gave birth to our beautiful and healthy daughter, Lyra Antarctica Seaborn Sheeran. We are completely in love with her. Both mum and baby are doing amazing, and we are on cloud nine over here. We hope that you can respect our privacy at this time. Lots of love, and I'll see you when it's time to come back." After Lyra was born, Ed declared that it took him some time to feel comfortable in the dad role, as he didn't have the natural nurturing feeling towards her like Cherry did, but that it developed gradually over time, and he couldn't be more over the moon to be a father. He did, however, have a newfound respect for Cherry after witnessing her giving birth and was in awe of her strength and courage. In the beginning, Ed would struggle with balancing sleep, working as a busy musician, and spending quality time with Lyra, like any parent would. But he quickly adapted, finding himself singing songs from Moana and Mufasa to his daughter to keep her happy, as Ed claimed that he's a playful, fun, and silly kind of dad, but that fatherhood matured him and snapped him out of his 20s party boy ways. Interestingly enough, it was actually when Lyra was born that Ed realised how bad his eyesight really was, as he couldn't even see his own daughter clearly, often having to wear glasses in the past. So after seeing how his brother Matthew's life had changed since getting his eyes lasered, Ed went and did the same, claiming it's the best thing he's ever done. As Ed is a travelling musician, Cherry would take time off of her own job and bring Lyra on tour to be with Ed at times, but they found the jet lag to be quite cruel on her, as she would end up with travel sickness. So they decided it was best for them not to come on tour all the time, as the differing time zones would have her up all hours of the night. This led to them as a family finding suitable accommodation to use as a base over the years in different countries, so Ed could have both Lyra and Cherry with him more often. With Ed taking a break from music, he would cherish this time as a father and being able to tend to his young daughter's needs and be there for her first, as opposed to being away on tour and missing those special moments. As the pride of becoming a father was clear to see in the way he spoke during interviews and the way he held himself during this time. While on his break, Ed decided to get to work renovating his Framlingham property, adding more and more buildings to it over the years, to the point where it became like a village of its own, and garnered its very own name, known as Sheeranville. With Ed even building his very own bowling alley for his family and friends to enjoy, despite Cherry's concerns that she didn't want her kids growing up too privileged and like the Richie Rich kid. During this time, Ed also added to his restaurant and bar in London called Birdie Blossoms, as Ed's very own restaurant started to build quite a solid reputation for great food and a great atmosphere. As COVID hit, Ed couldn't have planned his break from music any better, with lockdowns shutting down gigs all around the world, as it wouldn't really affect Ed that much, as he just wrote songs and focused on his family, as it made him realise what was important in life and helped him reflect on himself as a person. As fame in the past had sadly clouded his vision and made him forget who he really was as a person. With Ed claiming that prior to COVID, he struggled with fame and not knowing how to switch off from pop star Ed or real life father or husband Ed, as the time away helped him develop the skills necessary to turn off that egocentric pop star Ed and be present in his family's life, claiming his kids and wife have always helped him remain grounded when his ego started to get out of check. As Christmas time approached, on the 21st of December 2020, Ed released a standalone single titled Afterglow as an early Christmas present for his fans who feared they wouldn't hear from their favourite artist for some time. Afterglow would be yet another masterpiece from Ed, with the folky pop tune being written back in 2019 about observing the beauty emanating from his wife Cherry one evening, as Ed delivers the heartfelt lines that read, "You should see the way the light dances off your head, a million colours of hazel, golden and red," and the lines, "My eyes are caught in your gaze all over again. We were love drunk, waiting on a miracle, trying to find ourselves in the winter snow. So alone in love, like the world had disappeared. Oh, I won't be silent, and I won't let go. I will hold on tighter till the afterglow." Afterglow would peak at number 1 in Israel, 2 in the UK and Ireland, 7 in Australia, and only 29 in the US, while making the top 10 in a total of 10 countries, with Ed also scoring his 13th top 10 hit on the US Adult Top 40 chart, the most of any male solo artist to date. A simple music video shot in one take of Ed playing guitar with a picturesque sunset or twilight backdrop was uploaded to YouTube, scoring over 129 million views. While on a side note, Ed's cover artwork for the single was actually an abstract action painting of Ed's, as he started to experiment with this splash or flick style of abstract art after Ed claimed that he loved to paint ever since he was a young boy. On the 17th of February 2021, Ed celebrated his 30th birthday. However, just a few weeks later, on the 2nd of March 2021, Ed, along with many around the world, was shocked to hear of the passing of Australian music pioneer, record executive, and promoter Michael Gudinski, who was 68 years old. Gudinski was the founder of Mushroom Records, signing and working alongside acts like the Skyhooks, Kylie Minogue, and Split Enz. And most importantly, he was a great friend to Ed Sheeran, among many others in the industry.
Tributes from around the world today for the man regarded as the backbone of Australia's music industry, Michael Gudinski. Shocked friends, including Jimmy Barnes, gathered at his Toorak home after the 68-year-old died suddenly. Tony Jones reports.
Even after some 50 years in the music industry, Michael Gudinski was still top of the pops, his career pure platinum. One senses that was always going to be the case.
I just thought it was fun at an early age. I never thought of it as a business.
Overnight, 68-year-old Gudinski died suddenly at his Toorak home, where close friends gathered today to support his wife Susie and two children. Among those friends, rocker Jimmy Barnes, who'd earlier tweeted, "He was shocked by the loss of our dear friend, but we will try to be strong and keep the music flowing from our hearts."
Initially, reports suggested that Michael had just passed in his sleep. However, toxicology reports came back later in October, stating that cocaine, oxycodone, and morphine, along with a cocktail of 9 other drugs, with mixed drug use, being determined as the official cause of death, while he also had heart disease, cirrhosis, and compression fractures in his vertebrae. Michael had always had Ed's back since the beginning, essentially building him up as an artist in Australia, as the household name he is today. Together they formed a very close father-son-like bond over the years, with Ed putting out a lengthy statement on his Instagram describing Michael as a, quote, tornado of joy, and highlighting his warm, friendly persona, loud and out there personality, and his love and passion for music, especially in regards to up-and-coming artists. Ed would also make reference to holidaying together with his family and their achievements together, like in 2018, when they broke the record for most tickets sold in Australia to his record-breaking Divide tour. In his memory, Ed would continue a tradition that he learnt from Michael and his wife, as Ed and Cherry would write the date and the specific event that they were celebrating on a bottle of wine and display it on a shelf to look back at all the good times they shared. Ed would struggle in regards to his mental health after the passing of Michael, but luckily he was surrounded by people who looked out for him, and in particular, one of his most trusted mentors in Sir Elton John, who would ring him every day for a couple of minutes just to check up on him. After attending a private funeral for Michael Gudinski alongside many Australian musicians, on the 24th of March 2021 at Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne, Australia, Ed would perform at Michael Gudinski's memorial concert along with a number of big-name Australian musicians like Paul Kelly and Jimmy Barnes, and Ed even performed alongside Kylie Minogue for the songs All the Lovers and The Locomotion, as it was actually one of Michael's dreams to see the two artists collaborate. On the night, Ed was a true professional, as he flew all the way out to Australia to be there in person and pay tribute to his good friend, as he told some light-hearted stories about Michael as he struggled to fight back tears before a beautiful and emotive acoustic performance of Castle on the Hill, A-Team, and a new song that Ed wrote just for Michael that he called Visiting Hours.
Thank you so much for having me here. Michael would be absolutely buzzed that this is in the Rod Laver. And I chose a couple of songs today that meant a lot to me, and I know that Michael, these were his favourites, basically. This first one I played to him. I have a very vivid memory of being at him and Sue's house in Port Douglas about 3 o'clock in the morning, both on deck chairs, and I play him this song, Castle on the Hill. It's like 2015, I think. And he must have misheard the lyric wrong, because he started from that point screaming at me whenever he saw me, "We were younger then." And I never told him it was actually "I was younger then," but from now on it's "We were younger then." I never get this nervous. I'm really fucking nervous. So apologies if I mess up any lyrics or anything. So the first time I actually met Michael was in Melbourne, obviously. And I was playing a little rehearsal rooms, and he popped down. He was my manager, Stuart. He was his first boss at Infectious Records, and gave him his first job. And Stuart came in and he said, Bigwig's turning up today. Michael Gudinski's going to come to your gig. You need to be impressive. And I remember first meeting Michael, and he was very proper and very professional, and "Hi, I'm Mr. Gudinski," and I was kind of like, wow, okay, big wig. And we did our first tour with him soon after that, and I quickly realized that he was just a barrel of laughs. And I said it in my post on Instagram, he was just a tornado of joy, and just everywhere he went he just lifted the room and then fucked off. This is the song that sort of kicked it all off for me. And I know he loved it. He would always call every team the A-Team. And it's the A-Team. So I'm extremely, extremely grateful to be here. I know it's a
difficult thing to get into this country, and I don't take it for granted for all the hard work of getting me here, and I really, really just appreciate the opportunity to say goodbye. In lockdown, I was able to have a guitar for quarantine, and I always find the best way to process stuff is to write songs, be it good news, bad news, or whatever. And here's a song I finished last week.
Visiting Hours was written by Ed a week out from Michael's memorial during Melbourne's strict 2-week lockdown procedures for travellers into the state of Victoria during the COVID-19 pandemic. As Ed sings about how he wishes that Michael got to meet his daughter Lyra and how he hopes to be as great a father or mentor as Michael was to him. As Ed sings the beautiful lines, "I wish that heaven had visiting hours, so I could just show up and bring the news that she's getting older, and I wish that you'd met her. The things that she'll learn from me, I got them all from you. Can I just stay a while, and we'll put all the world to rights? The little ones will grow, and I'll still drink your favourite wine. And soon, they're going to close, but I'll see you another day. So much has changed since you've been away." Ed continues on in the song to ask what Michael's advice on being a father would be, as he feels lost without his guidance. After hearing the song played live at the memorial, fans would push for the song to be released as a single. However, for now, Ed would refuse to do so, as he felt it wasn't right to profit off of a song he wrote solely as a memorial for his friend. Ed would instead journey back to England to finish recording his fifth studio album, titled Equals, but not before becoming the latest major jersey sponsor for his favourite football club, Ipswich FC, who played at the time in the second division, known as the English Championship. With Ed's upcoming tour, the Mathematics Tour, being displayed on the front of the jersey for the upcoming 2021-2022 season. After celebrating his song Beautiful People, featuring Khalid, reaching over a billion streams on Spotify, on the 25th of June 2021, Ed Sheeran would release the lead single from the Equals album, titled Bad Habits. With its upbeat dance synth pop rhythm, Bad Habits would be far different to Ed's usual folk acoustic style, as Ed set out to shock his fan base and step outside of his comfort zone. As he told BBC Radio 1, quote, "People see me as the acoustic singer-songwriter who does ballads, and there was just a lot of that. So I wanted to go into the studio and make something that was totally different." Bad Habits was actually one of the last songs to be written and recorded for the album, and was chosen as the lead single as the country and the world, for that matter, was beginning to open back up after COVID lockdowns and restrictions. So in order to get people pumped up and excited to dance again at the clubs, he thought it was best to lead with an upbeat dance song rather than a slow acoustic ballad like he originally planned. Bad Habits was written about addiction, and in particular, his binge eating, his previous drug habits, and his heavy drinking at times, especially before Lyra was on the way, as he said, quote, "If you sing that on piano really slowly, it's like a confessional song about addiction." As Ed sings the lines, "My bad habits lead to late nights ending alone. Conversations with a stranger I barely know. Swearing this will be the last, but it probably won't. I got nothing left to lose, or use, or do. My bad habits lead to you." Bad Habits would peak at number one in a mammoth 28 countries, including Australia, across Europe, and on the UK chart, as well as a range of US alternative and adult charts, while also coming in at number 2 on the Hottest 100 in the US. Bad Habits today stands at over 2 billion streams on Spotify and would become Ed's 10th of 14 songs to eclipse the billion streams mark. However, it has some serious work to do to compete with Shape of You, which is Ed's most streamed song and sits at 4.5 billion streams. On YouTube, Ed's music video for Bad Habits stands at over 700 million views and sees Ed flying through the night sky of the city dressed as a vampire. While Ed was just trying to do something different, and some fans love the new style, other fans weren't so impressed, preferring his classic acoustic style, as critics also took aim at Ed, claiming he was trying to be too much like The Weeknd with his dance tunes, and not like the Ed we all know and love. The track Visiting Hours was never intended to be released as a single, as Ed had previously mentioned. However, after strong encouragement from his fans, Ed finally agreed to release the song as a promotional single for the Equals album, with Visiting Hours officially being released on the 19th of August, 2021. Ed spoke about the song at the time, stating, quote, "Finished writing this song, going through proper grief for the first time, and for me, it's one of the most important songs on Equals." Years down the track, Ed would later state that he no longer gets emotional anymore when he plays the song live, as he said, quote, "When I write the songs, they're very personal to me, but then when I release them, they belong to everyone, and therefore, they're not mine anymore." While Visiting Hours was never intended to be a hit, it was huge in Australia at the time, peaking at number 3 on the ARIA chart, and in the UK, it made it to number 5. While in the US, the song wasn't really a success, only reaching number 75 on the Hottest 100. Ed would follow up the success of Bad Habits and Visiting Hours with the September 2021 release of Shivers. Shivers would be the perfect dance pop track suited just for radio, as it would peak at number 1 in 7 countries, including Germany, Canada, and the UK, 2 in Australia, 3 in New Zealand, and 4 on the US Billboard Hottest 100. To this day, it stands as Ed's 7th most listened to song on Spotify, with over 1.9 billion streams, while over on YouTube, the quirky video stands at over 400 million views. Ed claims he wrote Shivers over the course of 3 days at a rented farm studio in Suffolk at the completion of the Divide tour, as he sings about lusting over his lover to the point that she gives him shivers all over his body. On the 29th of October 2021, Ed would release his 5th studio album, titled Equals, as it would rise to number 1 in over 20 countries, including both Australia and the UK, for the 5th straight time, as it would also reach the top spot in the US. Overall, the album would receive mixed reviews, while the album cover artwork simply featured the Equals symbol with a range of butterflies scattered over a red background. Equals would see Ed explore the themes of love and loss, as Ed told Apple Music, quote, "The theme of the record is me turning 30, becoming a dad, losing a friend, trying to balance work and marriage." Ed also revealed the background to the recording and writing process for the album via his Instagram, posting, quote, "Me and Johnny started this album back in June 2017 in Los Angeles and finished it July 2021. What a journey, man. When lockdown hit, we locked in together and started creating. Overpass Graffiti and Sandman came in those first few weeks, and countless others. Shivers was a pillar that the album oddly formed around. When things opened up, we started working in more interesting spaces to write songs. Johnny would set up in old farms or country houses, and we'd just make mad songs." Ed claimed that they wrote at least 250 songs for the Equals album before cutting it down to just 14, with Ed claiming he would usually write maybe 25 songs a week and 5 in just one day, with a majority of these songs being garbage, but that the standouts made the album. As Ed mentioned, Johnny McDade of Snow Patrol would return to help produce and co-write many of the songs with Ed, as well as Fred again and Foy Vance, with some other standouts including the singles Overpass Graffiti, Two Step, and The Joker and the Queen. Overpass Graffiti would reach number 4 in the UK, as Ed wrote the song about his first ever breakup, and how even with the passing of time, you never really forget your first love. As Ed told Genius, quote, "You still hold on to the memory of that, and it will never fade, like graffiti on the overpass." Two Step was yet another popular single from the album, reaching number 4 in the UK also, and 8 in Australia, receiving mass airplay worldwide. As Ed returned to his old rapping style, as he sings about the weight of the world's pressures coming down on him, however, when he's in the presence of his beautiful wife Cherry, all that fades away, as he sings the lines, "Two-steppin' with the woman I love, all my troubles turn to nothing when I'm in your eyes. Electrified, we'll keep turning up and go all night. We had dips and falls in our time, but we know what it feels to be low, then up, alone, then loved, and all we need is us to go all night." Like Two Step, Ed's love for Cherry and their strong bond, formed through life's many challenges, would be explored further in tracks like Be Alright, One Life, Love in Slow Motion, and in particular, the song Collide. The song The Joker and the Queen would come in at number 2 in the UK and 11 in Australia, as the soft folk ballad sees Ed once again singing about his love for his wife Cherry, as he represents the Joker in their relationship, while Cherry is the Queen. Ed would later release a second version of the track featuring Taylor Swift, with the music video paying homage to the 2013 duet between the pair, For Everything Has Changed, continuing the storyline between the two young lovers who resemble both Ed and Taylor from the previous music video. Other quality tracks from the album include the likes of First Times, as Ed lists off a number of firsts, like his first kiss with Cherry, to the first time performing at Wembley, with Ed's brother Matthew arranging the strings heard on the track. The song Sandman was written as a lullaby for Ed's daughter Lyra before she was born, as Ed sings about setting up her baby room, which included a handmade cot that Ed had made from cherry wood, as Ed sings, "Daddy made your bed and your lullaby, and Mama made the mobile in the sky." The song Leave Your Life sees Ed singing about Lyra once again, and how no matter how far away he might seem while on tour, that she'll always be on his mind. Finally, the track Stop the Rain sees Ed address a previous accusation that he had plagiarized in the song Photograph, and the ongoing court battles that loomed over him, dragging him down mentally. As he said, quote, "Every time I've ever taken influence from a song, I give it credit. And this thing that I'm in at the moment, I believe I'm in the right. But the rain just won't stop. It's just about knowing that you're in the right and knowing that you will eventually get out of it." In this case in particular, Ed settled for $20 million back in 2017 after the songwriters for the song Amazing, performed by Matt Cardle, had claimed that Photograph's chorus sounded similar to their song, with Ed later expressing regret over the settlement, wishing he had have fought it harder instead. Later, during November 2021, Ed would team up with Sir Elton John, releasing a Love Actually-inspired Christmas song named Merry Christmas, which peaked at number 1 in 6 countries, including the UK. Proceeds would go towards Elton's AIDS Foundation, as well as Ed's Suffolk Music Foundation, which aims to help fund music education to kids and teens in school. Ed would also rise to number 2 in the UK after featuring on a remixed version of the song Peru by Nigerian rapper Fireboy DM, with the song going on to win awards, including a Brit, for International Song of the Year, and launching Fireboy's career globally, as the track also reached number 3 in New Zealand and topped the hip-hop charts in both the UK and US. Towards the end of 2021, Ed collaborated with Colombian singer J Balvin, Argentinian rapper Paulo Londra, and British rappers Big Nasty and H, achieving moderate success with all of them. By the end of 2021, Ed had also made his third signing to his own label Gingerbread Man Records by signing British female musician Maisie Peters, before quickly releasing her debut album titled You Signed Up For This. Sadly, however, due to lockdowns continuing, Ed would only perform a handful of shows towards the end of 2021, including a gig to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the album Plus. Between 2021 and 2022, Ed would take home a host of awards, winning the 2021 GQ Magazine Award for Man of the Year after appearing on their front cover. He also took home Favourite Pop Rock Artist at the American Music Awards, Top Billboard Global Artist at the Billboard Awards, over 15 BMI London and Pop Awards for a range of his songs, Songwriter of the Year at the 2022 Brit Awards, along with a countless list of other awards from all over the world, where he even found the time to fit in a cameo on the film Red Notice. Around this time, Ed also co-wrote a host of songs for other artists like Bam Bam for Camila Cabello, which rose to number 7 in the UK, the song Beautiful by Anne Marie, Pointless by Lewis Capaldi, which peaked at number 1 in the UK, and Permission to Dance by K-pop group BTS, which also rose to number 1 in 5 Asian countries, including Japan, and number 1 on the US Hottest 100, becoming Ed's 4th track that was written and released for another artist to go to number 1 in the USA. Ed also featured on re-recorded duets with Taylor Swift, with Run and Everything Has Changed, after Taylor reclaimed her masters and re-recorded the Red album. As Ed wrapped up yet another successful year, nothing could quite prepare him for what 2022 was about to throw at him, and the events that would ultimately change him as a person and as an artist forever. At the beginning of 2022, Cherry and Ed would hit a rough patch, which can only be described as an emotional roller coaster filled with extreme highs and low lows. When on the 10th of February 2022, Cherry would be diagnosed with cancer after a tumour was found in her arm. But on top of this, Cherry was also 6 months pregnant with the couple's second child, which meant, in order for the delivery to be carried out safely, Cherry would have to wait until after the baby arrived to have the tumour removed. And while it was exciting news in regards to the impending birth of their second child together, the potential for the tumour to grow in size was of concern to the couple and sadly overshadowed the lead up to the birth, placing immense stress on them. Then, just 10 days after Cherry's cancer diagnosis and 3 days after celebrating Ed's 31st birthday, on the 20th of February 2022, Ed Sheeran's life would change forever when his good friend Jamal Edwards passed away suddenly from a cardiac arrhythmia caused by a recreational drug overdose brought on by the use of cocaine and alcohol. Jamal was just 31 years old and was found unresponsive at his mother Brenda's home in the suburb of Acton in West London, where Jamal had also been residing. His passing came just a week after attending the Brit Awards and a day after he was DJing at a bar in Islington in North London, before returning home at 4 a.m. The day of his death, it's said that Jamal was smoking marijuana with a friend of his named Nick Hopper, before Jamal started behaving erratically and paranoid, suggesting he had taken something else, as he eventually collapsed to the floor. Brenda, as well as Jamal's sister Tanisha, were by his side as he passed away, with Brenda claiming that she held his hand as he went into cardiac arrest and that it was sudden and unexpected. And while she's grateful that she was there by his side for his final moments, she claims it's an image she'll never be able to forget. Jamal was pronounced dead at 10:36 a.m, with Ed being one of the first people to be notified by Brenda, with the news literally stopping him in his tracks and devastating him, with Ed hopping on the first plane home as he was in New York.
What's going on, people? It's Jamal Edwards.
Jamal Edwards mastered the music industry at a young age. His platform, SBTV, a launchpad to stardom for the likes of Jessie J and Ed Sheeran. But the entrepreneur, son of loose woman Brenda Edwards, died from a heart attack 4 months ago, aged just 31. Brenda spoke about losing her son on the show.
I get a little bit of comfort from knowing that I was with him. You know, there's all his photos are still obviously in the house. And I look at him and I say, good morning, baby. And I say, good night, baby. I feel his presence constantly.
Today, as an inquest into Jamal's death opened, Brenda revealed online, the cause of Jamal's devastating passing was due to cardiac arrhythmia, caused by having taken recreational drugs. It's so important that we help drive more conversation about the unpredictability of recreational drugs and the impact that they can have.
Ed had no idea at all that Jamal was using drugs like cocaine, as the two essentially shared a symbiotic brotherly bond where they would tell each other everything, even to the point where Jamal would tell Ed off for touching drugs in the past. Ed and Jamal had been inseparable since the pair first met back in 2010, as they were around the same age and had a natural chemistry. After connecting through Twitter originally, they would work on some music videos together, where they bonded over their love of football, even attending a Manchester United game together, despite Jamal supporting Chelsea and Ed supporting Ipswich. Jamal was essentially a big reason for Ed's music going viral after he hosted Ed on his YouTube channel SBTV, where Ed performed a brilliant rendition of his fast-paced angsty rap song, You Need Me, I Don't Need You. Ed claimed that Jamal was always charitable and accommodating, even letting him stay overnight at his mother Brenda's house when Ed was just 18, as Ed would crash on Jamal's couch in his bedroom, and before he knew it, he ended up staying for over a year. Ed explained that they were so tight that people even thought they were in a homosexual relationship together, as he told Rolling Stone, quote, "That was the big rumour in the industry, and I don't think anyone thought that I knew the rumour, but I get it, man, I lived in his room." As Ed continued by stating that they would even holiday together. Even when Ed moved out and on with his career to take on America, they still remained in touch and would chat over the phone all the time. While upon returning to Suffolk in 2016, now as a fully-fledged global superstar, they would still catch up, with Ed later expressing that his favourite memory of Jamal was when the pair of them got wasted on Hennessy and apple juice, rapping to Skepta till 3 or 4 in the morning, while ordering tons of food and playing pool at Ed's house. According to Ed, Jamal went by two nicknames, including Jam and, most importantly, Plug, as everyone knew Jamal and he was so good at connecting young artists for collaborations. Jamal was renowned on the grime scene for providing a platform, kickstarting a range of young rappers and musicians' careers through his channel SBTV, after starting his empire from scratch and helping the likes of Stormzy, Rita Ora, Dave, Emily Sunday, and Jessie J, while he was also a budding entrepreneur who helped a lot of struggling youths and was an ambassador for the Prince's Trust, which is a youth charity that aim to help young disadvantaged people start up their own businesses. Jamal was also a DJ and would go down as an influential and revolutionary figure in the UK music scene. Just 3 days before his death, Jamal had shared his final post on Instagram, which just so happened to be a post celebrating his good friend Ed Sheeran's 31st birthday, with Jamal writing, quote, "Happy birthday to the OG, Ed. Blessed to have you in my life, brother. You know you've been mates a long time, when you lose count on the years. Keep smashing it and inspiring us all, G." The night before Jamal passed away, Ed was actually out to dinner with Taylor Swift and her then partner, Joe Alwyn, in New York City, and Ed had been messaging him about plans for an upcoming music video that they were set to shoot the following day, with Ed telling Rolling Stone magazine that they were talking just 12 hours before his death. The last time they hung out together in person was just 2 months earlier, when they attended Jamal's favourite place to eat, which was Grill Shack and Tiki Bar in Acton, West London, before heading over to the Dave Chappelle comedy show. As soon as Ed touched down in London, he raced around to Brenda's and essentially didn't leave for over a week. Honouring what Jamal would have wanted and his family traditions, being from a Caribbean background, Ed would remain close to Jamal's family in their time of grieving, spending 9 nights at Jamal's mother's house with his family and loved ones, with this tradition being known as a 9-night or dead yard, or as Brenda liked to refer to it as, a homegoing. The spiritual tradition originated from the Asante people of West Africa and was adopted by multiple Caribbean cultures like Jamaican and Saint Vincent and the Grenadines, which is where Jamal's family hailed from. Essentially, for the first 8 nights, the spirit of the deceased, or also known as the Duppy, lingers in limbo at the place of their death, as they prepare to cross over to the afterlife, as loved ones drop into the residence to pay their respects and say their goodbyes. In some instances, mirrors will be covered up using sheets, mattresses may be placed against walls or flipped over, furniture may be rearranged, and stopping the time on the clocks in the house may also be carried out to stop the spirit from wanting to stay behind instead of crossing over. A plate of traditional Caribbean foods may also be set aside on a table inside a tent for the spirit to feast on, with it being forbidden for anyone else to eat or touch this food before the end of the 9-night at midnight. On the 9th night, a party or celebration is held where through the positive vibrations expressed, the spirit is set free and transitions into the afterlife by midnight. During the first 8 nights, Ed would sit with Jamal's family and embrace, sing hymns, cry, and reminisce over the good times with Jamal, with Ed also helping around the house while Brenda grieved and struggled to cope. Then, on the 9th night, as per tradition, the family and Ed would party all night long and celebrate the life of Jamal by eating his favourite foods, drinking, dancing, and listening to live music. With Ed claiming that even actor and rapper Idris Elba dropped in to pay his respects, while yet another SBTV graduate, Jesse J, dropped in to perform in Jamal's honour. When it came time to farewell Jamal, a funeral would be held in accordance to Brenda and her family's beliefs in Jamal's hometown of Luton, with everyone wearing blue and white for the Chelsea FC theme. Brenda described it as a beautiful day of celebration and remembrance, as Brenda recalled to Loose Women that she remembers looking up into the sky and seeing a J written in the clouds, just for Jamal. Jamal's mother Brenda Edwards was also a musician, having once finished fourth on the X Factor UK during 2005. While she also featured regularly in musicals and is a member of the TV show Loose Women. While on the show, Brenda claimed that after Jamal's death, that she was in a state of shock and was upset by how quickly the news was leaked to the media before she was even able to process what had happened herself or tell any of her loved ones. To this day, Brenda has expressed that she feels Jamal's presence all around her every day and believes he is sending her signs through his favourite colour blue and through symbols. Sadly, Jamal would also leave behind his two beautiful ragdoll cats named Tiny and Temper, named of course after the British rapper, with Brenda claiming that she noticed a significant change in them when Jamal died, and that they had lost some of their hair from stress. However, his sister Tanisha has since taken them in, and they remain healthy. Ed would honour Jamal by getting a tattoo of the SBTV logo on his guitar-playing hand, so he will always be there with him, while Tanisha would get a number of tattoos in Jamal's honour. Just like Brenda and Tanisha, Ed would also struggle with the loss, but in particular with the confronting image of Jamal's coffin being lowered into his grave, as it felt quite final, and it was the first time that Ed had attended a funeral where the individual hadn't been cremated. With Ed stating that he found it difficult to delete the image from his mind after being asked to shovel some dirt onto Jamal's coffin. After days of silence, Ed took to Instagram on the 24th of February 2022 and stated, quote, "I haven't posted anything because I can't find the words. I can't reply because I don't know what to say. Jamal is my brother. His light shone so bright. He only used it to illuminate others and never asked for anything in return. A star's light shines for millions of years after they go, and his will continue to light up every dark moment. We are all witnessing his power. I would not be here without him, professionally and personally. There will never be anything close to what he is, but I'm so grateful to have existed within his orbit." Sadly for Ed, the loss of his close friend Jamal would lead him down a dark, depressive path, and compounded by everything else happening in his life, his music would also be influenced by these struggles, as he entered into a period he could only describe as, quote, cloudiness and as a blur, with Ed even bordering on suicidal at times. Ed told Rolling Stone magazine that the last time he experienced such lows was when he was being bullied back in school for his red hair, glasses, perforated eardrum, his stutter, lack of good looks, and to top it all off, he wasn't a very sporty kid in what was a very sport-orientated school. As he said, quote, "You're just singled out for being different at that point," before going on to claim that over time he blocked out a lot of the bullying, claiming it traumatized him and pushed him to make it as a performer, stating, quote, "It plays into wanting to be on stage and have people like you." Due to the circumstances surrounding Jamal's death, Ed would also double down on quitting drugs for good, telling Rolling Stone, quote, "I would never ever touch anything again because that's how Jamal died, and that's just disrespectful to his memory to even like go near it." Ed would, however, find himself drinking heavily again after previously giving alcohol up just months prior to Lyra's birth in September 2020. Over time, Ed found himself regularly visiting Jamal's painted mural over on High Street in Acton, West London, which had actually been painted well before his passing, displaying just how influential he was on the local community and for young aspiring musicians. Ed would spend hours upon hours at the mural with his hoodie covering his face as he wanted to grieve in peace, as he would grab some Jamaican-inspired jerk wings and plantain in Jamal's honour and reminisce. Hundreds of people would flock to Jamal's mural for vigils every night, for weeks to months on end, as Ed enjoyed listening to everyone's stories about him, claiming whenever he was low and needed to get out of the house, he would tell Cherry he was just going down to the mural to get some, quote, Jamal juice, as it gave Ed comfort knowing just how much Jamal had improved so many other people's lives. Most nights, however, Ed would return home at 2 a.m. in the morning and sadly would cry himself to sleep, with Cherry often overhearing him sobbing, which broke her heart. For Ed, the pain was just so unbearable and he couldn't believe he was really gone. While trapped in this grief-stricken state, Ed would be woken up at 6 a.m. by his daughter Lyra, who energetically would say, "Let's make porridge and listen to music." With his eyes stinging and red from crying all night, Ed would put his own feelings aside and put on a brave, happy face for his daughter, as he would get up to make her porridge, as they developed a tradition of putting on a record on the record player every morning, which would range from anything from Norah Jones to Dusty Springfield, as they would dance around the kitchen. Ed claimed that Lyra and Cherry were his rock through this period, giving him something to get up for every morning, and without them, he doesn't know how he would have pulled through. With the song Dusty from the Subtract album later going on to be influenced by these precious moments with his daughter. Ed would explain that he didn't like Lyra seeing him depressed and upset, as he was often one to hate crying in public. However, he knew it was okay sometimes to let her see these emotions, and that he didn't always bottle them up. With Ed claiming he wasn't much of a crier before Jamal's passing, but now he was crying every day. Ed would continue to talk about Jamal in countless interviews over the years, occasionally breaking down in tears mid-interview, while admitting to crying on Jamal's birthday every year. Ed also keeps in touch with Jamal's mother and sister on most days. Ed also claimed he doesn't think he'll ever recover from the grief he feels over Jamal's death, and feels that nor should he just get over it and move on like some people have suggested. Ed expressed that a piece of him had even been taken with the loss of Jamal, as he stated, quote, "It definitely does strip away some carefree jokiness. I still like to have fun, but I'm in my head a lot." Ed would also at times become frustrated at the media, who just knew Jamal as the SPTV mogul with loads of money, or they'd mention his net worth. However, Ed described Jamal as the life of the party and one of the funniest people he's ever met, with such a warm, energetic, humble, sociable, and loving persona who knew when to be the jokester and when to be serious, and that he had a big heart, as he had time for everyone. Both Jamal's sister Tanisha and mother Brenda Edwards would continue his legacy, choosing to start up the Jamal Edwards Self-Belief Trust, which was set up to continue helping young underappreciated musicians to get ahead in the industry, as well as helping homeless youths. Ed would continue to attend yearly gala nights to celebrate the trust, which continues to this day, with SBTV also surviving to this very day, with Jamal's sister Tanisha now being heavily involved in keeping his vision alive. This vision, surprisingly, was mapped out by Jamal before he died, with Brenda coming across a bunch of notes in his bedroom listed with instructions and his wishes on how to run his businesses, as he didn't want to let those around him down that relied on him. She claims he literally thought of everything, even leaving notes regarding how he wanted his funeral to look, with Jamal writing that he wanted his favourite football club, Chelsea FC, to be involved somehow. During March 2022, Ed would have further pressure placed on him when he was due to face court in regards to accusations of plagiarism during the songs Shape of You and Thinking Out Loud, both of which had been filed in the court system and hung over him since 2016 and 2018. While walking out of day one of the Shape of You court case on the 4th of March 2022, Ed would be saddened by further loss when he overheard a paparazzi member insensitively reveal that his good friend Shane Warne had passed away, as the paparazzi member was believed to have said, "Hey, what do you think of your friend Shane dying?" With Ed describing this as a very weird time and a weird way to find out. Shane Warne was an Australian spin bowler and cricket legend who was just 52 when he passed away from a heart attack caused by atherosclerosis while he was holidaying in Koh Samui in Thailand. Shane was sadly found unresponsive in his villa by his friends and his manager after he didn't show up for dinner, with Shane's manager, Andrew Neofatu, performing CPR for up to 20 minutes until paramedics could arrive, before later being pronounced dead at Thai International Hospital.
I'm afraid we have some devastating, tragic news. You can see it at the bottom of your screen. Arguably the greatest spin bowler in cricket history, Shane Warne, has died at the age of 52. Shane Warne's management released a brief statement in the early hours of Saturday morning in Australia, so today, saying that he has passed away in Koh Samui, in the Gulf of Thailand, of a suspected heart attack. And the statement reads as follows. Shane was found unresponsive in his villa, and despite the best efforts of medical staff, he could not be revived. The family requests privacy at this time and will provide further details in due course.
When Ed questioned if the news was true, he was devastated to hear of his good mate's passing. Ed had grown close over the years to Warney and his three children, and wrote on his Instagram, quote, "The world keeps taking incredible people away. I spoke to Shane on the anniversary of Michael's passing this week, saying we were both raising a glass of 707 in his honour. And now, this news comes out. Shane was the kindest heart and always went above and beyond to make people feel welcome and special. Such a gentleman, he gave so many hours and years of his life to bring joy to others and was such an amazing friend to me. I'll bloody miss you, mate. Absolutely gutted." Warney was known as a larrikin with a big heart and a down-to-earth persona, who made time for everyone, which is what initially drew Ed to him in the first place, as he said, quote, "He took all of my friends into the nets at Lord's and bowled 20 balls to them each. He made sure they hit the ball so they could say that they smashed a ball from Warney." Ed and Shane's relationship actually began back in 2014 when they attended the same Kylie Minogue gig and were essentially neighbours when staying at Melbourne's Star Casino for the Logies. When Ed discovered Warney was next door, he immediately went and knocked on his door and introduced himself, asking for a photo with him to send to his dad John, as he was a huge cricket and Warney fan, with Ed claiming he grew up watching Warney with his father. Ed returned the favour, getting a photo with Shane's daughter Brooke, who was a big fan of Ed's music, and from here, the two formed an unlikely bond. Together they headed out to party at Club 23 in Melbourne, as they hit it off, getting along like a house on fire. Warney would also attend Ed's gigs and come over and hang out with Ed's daughter Lyra, forming an uncle-like bond with her. While Warney even spent 2 hours bowling at Ed's dad, John, in the nets at the MCG, fulfilling a dream of John Sheeran's. The last time the pair hung out was at a Coldplay concert at Wembley in late 2021. While Ed claims that he even spoke to Shane over the phone just 4 days out from his death. Ed would later play a rendition of Thinking Out Loud at Warney's memorial in what was a touching tribute to the cricketing legend. On April 6, 2022, Edward announced to his fan base that the copyright case involving Shape of You was finally over, and that he had won after fighting the case in the American court system, with Sammy Chokri having claimed that Ed copied phrases and lines from his 2015 song titled Oh Why, with the judge ruling that Ed, quote, neither deliberately nor subconsciously copied a phrase from Oh Why. Via Instagram, Ed went on to claim that baseless claims of plagiarism, like this one, need to stop, and that it can be extremely damaging to the songwriting industry. As he said, quote, there's only so many notes and very few chords used in pop music. Coincidence is bound to happen if 60,000 songs are being released every day on Spotify.
Hey guys, me, Johnny and Steve have made a joint statement that will be press released on the outcome of this case, but I wanted to make a small video to talk about it a bit because I've not really been able to say anything whilst it's been going on. Whilst we're obviously happy with the result, I feel like claims like this are way too common now and have become a culture where a claim is made with the idea that a settlement will be cheaper than taking it to court, even if there's no base for the claim. It's really damaging to the songwriting industry. There's only so many notes and very few chords used in pop music. Coincidence is bound to happen if 60,000 songs are being released every day on Spotify. That's 22 million songs a year, and there's only 12 notes that are available. I don't want to take anything away from the pain and hurt suffered from both sides of this case, but I just want to say I'm not an entity. I'm not a corporation. I'm a human being. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a son. Lawsuits are not a pleasant experience, and I hope with this ruling it means in the future baseless claims like this can be avoided. This really does have to end. Me, Johnny and Steve are very grateful for all the support sent to us by fellow songwriters over the last few weeks. Hopefully we can all get back to writing songs rather than having to prove that we can write them. Thank you.
Sadly, however, the case in the British courts involving Thinking Out Loud versus Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On would drag on for a further year, with Ed abruptly stating that he would be done with the music industry and retire if he lost the case, as that's how ridiculous it was. In regards to this case, Ed was advised initially to just reach a settlement and move on. However, Ed wanted to put his foot down and say enough is enough and stand up for all the songwriters, as this type of thing was happening way too often, so he continued to fight it. With these court proceedings dangling over Ed's head, he claims he struggled to find the time to grieve the loss of his friends, as he would spend the day in court, then go see Jamal's mum and sister, and then go home to Cherry. With the impending birth of Ed's second child approaching, and the Thinking Out Loud case still looming, Ed would return to the stage on the 23rd of April 2022, performing in Dublin, Ireland for the very first show of the Mathematics Tour, as he would begin playing once more to large-scale stadiums and arenas in front of anywhere from 50,000 to 100,000 people a night, as a one-man show with only his loop pedal and guitar, which was quite impressive considering all of the stress on him around this time. The emotional roller coaster would continue when during early May 2022, Ed and Cherry welcomed their second baby daughter into the world, naming her Jupiter Seaborn Sheeran. Cherry would actually carry Jupiter full term after talks that they may need to deliver her early due to the necessity to remove Cherry's tumour. The excited parents would post to Ed's Instagram on the 19th of May, stating, quote, want to let you all know we've had another beautiful baby girl. We are both so in love with her and over the moon to be a family of four. During June, a month after the birth of Jupiter, Cherry successfully had her tumour removed, relieving a lot of stress off of the couple, as she was declared cancer-free. As Cherry said, quote, long story short, I got diagnosed with cancer at the start of the year, which was a massive shitter. It made me massively reflect on our mortality. Ed would reflect on the time during an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, where he claimed he felt completely powerless and was relieved when she was in the clear. Ed would next perform on the 5th of June 2022 at the Queen's Platinum Jubilee Concert, 10 years on since playing at the Diamond Jubilee, before playing 5 sold-out shows at Wembley in the UK in front of 90,000 spectators a night, with Ed even bringing out special guest performers like Sam Smith, Stormzy, Anne Marie, and Fireboy DML. Ed would also continue playing in Germany and France to over 100,000 fans over the course of a few nights. While Ed himself made a surprise appearance at Bring Me the Horizon's gig as a headline Leeds and Reading Festival, with Ed performing a heavier rock version of Bad Habits with them. With the passing of Jamal, Shane and even Michael Gudinski, along with the stresses of the court cases, touring and Cherry's cancer journey, Ed still sadly felt everything was hopeless and struggled to keep going, revealing to Rolling Stone magazine that, quote, "I felt like I didn't want to live anymore, and I have had that throughout my life. You're under the waves drowning. You're just sort of in this thing, and you can't get out of it." With Ed going on to claim that he felt shame, embarrassment, and guilt, as if he shouldn't be feeling this way when he's a father, and that these feelings were selfish. However, with the loss, grief, and stress he had experienced, these feelings were only normal, and with encouragement from Cherry, who was concerned for his mental health, and if her husband would pull through this dark space, Ed was convinced that he needed to seek help for not only his children and Cherry's sake, but more importantly, for himself. Not one to believe in therapy or talk about his feelings previously, based on the way he was raised in his English community of Suffolk, Ed started seeing a therapist in June 2022 and claims it was helpful for talking through his recent grief and trauma, as bottling it up was essentially killing him. Despite this, Ed also claimed that it wasn't a magical fix, as he knows that his depression is an ongoing thing that'll need to be managed going forward. Ed claimed that he also found his own form of therapy through writing songs, explaining that it helped just as much, if not more, for him personally. Ed would wrap up seeing his therapist much later in 2024, after finding himself in a much better headspace. During this time, Ed would once again give away the hard liquor, like vodka and spirits, after months of heavy drinking, and would only find himself drinking one beer or red wine with Cherry of a night, as he finds it relaxes him. Ed also began taking a moderated approach to everything in his life, finding himself eating better and making healthier choices, as he had previously suffered from bulimia, where he would gorge himself on rich fatty foods that he loved like chocolate and chicken wings before vomiting them up to avoid weight gain. In order to rope in these bad habits, Ed would set aside one red limp ball of chocolate a night as a treat, which he finds fulfills his cravings. With Ed revealing he spoke to fellow British pop star Robbie Williams over email about binge eating, as Robbie had also experienced a similar thing in the past. Ed would also take up regular exercise, including Pilates, weight training, and jogging, which improved his overall mental health over time. When not on tour, Ed also started to develop a more structured routine, which improved his overall mental health, claiming that becoming a dad and having that responsibility really helped him through this period, stating that he's now up by 6 to get the kids ready for the day, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. would be his most productive hours of the day, as he would drop the kids off at daycare or preschool before heading to the studio to focus on songwriting and producing songs. And by 3, he'd be off to pick the kids up again, cook dinner, and enter what he calls fun dad mode, putting on a brave face for the kids, despite his own stresses, to be in bed himself by 10 p.m, and then do it all over again during the week before playing gigs on weekends. Ed claims he used to be so lackadaisical and unstructured when creating music all hours of the day, often getting back late and getting on the drink. However, he now treats the creative process like a job and has to knuckle down in that time frame before picking the kids back up. As Ed explained, that his home in Suffolk would also become his sanctuary and place to get away from the negativity of the world by planting trees with his kids, taking them bowling at his personal bowling alley, and even installing a pond, which in turn attracted the wildlife and bird life for the family to enjoy. Ed later claimed that this rough period of highs and lows helped him to grow up, and for the first time, he felt like an actual adult. He later reflected that it felt like the end of an era and the end of his youth and innocence, as he began to see the world through a different lens and appreciate the small things in life, as well as his family. And that wraps up this episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If this is your first time tuning into our show, don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss our future episodes. And if you're really enjoying the show, a quick rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts goes a long way in helping us to grow. If you would like to follow the podcast, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X, and TikTok at Lyrics of Their Life Podcast, or on our website at lyricsoftheirlife.com for updates and more. If you'd like to support the podcast further and help keep episodes like this coming, you can head over to my Patreon at patreon.com/lyricsoftheirlifepodcast, or you can buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/lyricsoflifepod. Every bit of support means the world to me and helps make episodes like this one possible. Whether you're a long-time listener or just discovering the show for the first time, thank you for being here and supporting the show in whatever form that comes in. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life.